This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, today is the first Sunday in Advent, and that means we're beginning a whole new church year. Now, that word Advent actually comes from the Latin language, and it means to enter or to come into. And so during the Advent season, we focus on the fact that God has chosen to come into the world in order to save his enemies from their own rebellion against him. But at first, that might confuse us. I mean, why does God need to come into the world? Isn't God present everywhere? I mean, didn't he create the world? Isn't there no place where God is not present? That's true. God is present everywhere. You see, when we say that God came into the world, we mean that he came into the world in a way that it was possible for us to know who he is and that he actually loves us and wants to save us from our sins and bring us to himself. So even though God exists everywhere, he comes into the world in a way that we might know that he is our loving Savior. In fact, that's the entire message of the whole Bible. You see, on the very day that Adam and Eve rejected God and thereby doomed themselves and us to a life lived in rebellion against God, on that very day, God promised to send a Savior into the world. God promised a Savior who would rescue us from our own rebellion against God and bring us back into a loving relationship with him. In a few weeks, we will celebrate the fulfillment of God's promise. In a few weeks, we will celebrate the birth of God's Son, Jesus, who came into the world to save his people from their sins. And during the season of Advent, we prepare for the celebration of Christmas by focusing on God's Old Testament promises. The promises that our Savior would come into the world to save his people. Today's sermon is the first in four Sunday Advent sermons with the theme, He's Coming. In these four sermons, we will learn from Scripture how God chose a particular people from all the nations of the world and then promised that the Savior of all nations would come through the family line of that chosen people. Therefore, today's sermon title is The Seed of Abraham, which is based on our Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 12. However, before we examine the details of Genesis 12, allow me to explain how this reading fits into the bigger picture of God's plan of salvation. Simply put, in Genesis chapter 3, we read about Adam and Eve and their rebellion against God in the Garden of Eden. However, in that same chapter, we also read about God's first promise of a Savior for Adam and Eve and their descendants, that's you and me. God simply promised that a child would be born of the woman, and that child would crush the devil and save those who had been deceived by him. In fact, this promise of a Savior was alluded to in the fifth stanza of our sermon hymn, where it talked about God sending a Savior who would bruise for us the serpent's head. Well, from that point on in history, God wanted Adam and Eve and their descendants to trust in his promise and look forward in faith to the Savior who would one day come into the world. Now, if you skip ahead to Genesis chapter 5, you find something very interesting there. You find a genealogy. A genealogy that begins with Adam and goes through several generations all the way up to a man named Noah. Now, during those generations between Adam and Noah, sadly, there were only a few people who actually trusted God's promise. Most of them, sadly, doubted God's word, lived as they pleased, and died in unbelief. Why did this happen? Well, if you look at the generations between Adam and Noah, there's one thing we do find. We find that many parents failed to raise their children in the knowledge of God's word. And the sad result was that by Noah's day, there were only 8 believers in the entire world. Noah and his wife, their 3 sons and their wives. Now, if you read Genesis chapters 6 through 9, that's where we read about the flood. God destroyed all the unbelievers of the world and started over with Noah and his family. Noah and his family lived by God's promise that he would one day send a Savior into the world. Sadly, though, if you read on, you see that sinful history repeats itself again. You see, several generations after Noah, the world was once again filled with unbelievers who lived in rebellion against God. Again, the faith had not been passed on. You can read about this tragic event in history in Genesis chapters 10 and 11. In fact, in Genesis chapter 11, we read about the Tower of Babel. Raise your hand if you remember learning about the Tower of Babel in Sunday school. Well, you might remember then that at that point in history, all the descendants of Noah were again unbelievers who lived in one area of the world and they all spoke the same language. But they refused to move out through the whole world as God had commanded them. Instead, they stayed in one place and they pooled their efforts to build this big, massive tower, which was a sign to them and to God that they were just fine by themselves. They didn't need God. They could accomplish whatever they wanted to on their own without God, thank you. That was their attitude. But God still loved them. Therefore, God disciplined them. He disciplined them in the hope that they would repent and seek him in humble faith. What did God do? He humbled them first by confusing their languages, and then he spread them out around the world as he intended them to do in the first place. But he did this in the hope that they would repent and seek him. But sadly, most of the people did not repent. Many of them hardened their hearts and continued to reject God and despise his word, which helps us understand why around the world we have so many false, ungodly religions. Therefore, several generations after the Tower of Babel, there were only a few people who still trusted God's promise to send a Savior into the world. One of these believers was named Abram. And now we're ready to take a look at our reading from Genesis chapter 12. In this section of scripture, we read how God called a man named Abraham and told him to leave his home and to follow God wherever he would lead him. Here's what we read. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household and go to the land I will show you." Now at this point, you might wonder why all this historical information was important for me to share with you. Why did I spend time talking about the generations from Adam to Noah to Babel to Abraham? Well, the reason I'm sharing this information with you, first of all, is to remind you that the Bible is not a fairy tale. It's real history, real people, real places, real events. Secondly, the other reason I shared this history with you is that this history is his story. And because it's his story, it also applies to you today. This history is your salvation history. Therefore, it's important for you to hear these details. For example, listen to the next section of our Old Testament reading and listen for the promise of the gospel that's meant for your ears. God said to Abram, "I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Did you hear that? You are part of the all peoples that God was talking about. He said that all nations would be blessed through Abraham. But what does that mean? Well, simply put, God is teaching us that one of Abraham's descendants would be the Savior that God had promised to Adam and Eve. Therefore, the nations of the world were to trust in the God of Abram, who would ultimately send their Savior into the world through Abraham's family line. But of course, over time, Abram began to wonder if God would actually keep his promise. Why is that? Well, the years went by, and before he knew it, Abraham was in his late 90s, and his wife Sarah was pushing 90 herself, and yet they had no children. So how could the Savior of all nations be one of their descendants if they didn't even have any children? Good question. But God did not forget his promise. God promised Abraham and Sarah that they would have that promised child even in their old age. In fact, you can read about God's promise of this in Genesis chapter 15 and how Abraham believed that God could work a miracle. In fact, I want you to listen to these words from Genesis 15. Then the word of the Lord came to Abram. A son coming from your own body will be your heir. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So there you have it. God kept his promise to bless the world through one of Abram's descendants, starting with his miracle son, Isaac, the one born to Abram and Sarah in their old age. Isaac, one link in the chain leading to the promised Savior of all people. In fact, we learn about this chain leading to Jesus in our gospel reading for today. Why don't you take a look at that in your bulletin? Our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 1. And have you ever wondered, why does Matthew begin his gospel with a genealogy? Well, he wants us to remember that Jesus is not a fairy tale. Jesus is part of God's salvation plan in history. And he begins this genealogy with Abraham. In fact, if you look at verse 2, he makes it clear that Abraham then had a son, the promised miracle son, Isaac. And then he mentions Abraham's grandson, Jacob. And after that, Abraham's great-grandson, Judah, whom we will learn about next Sunday. But for today's sermon, the focus is on the fact that Jesus, our Savior, is the seed of Abraham, the one who blesses all nations. In fact, in our second reading from Galatians, the Apostle Paul focuses on this Bible verse in order to help us see how it points to us and the hope that we have in Jesus. Let me read part of that again. Paul writes, "The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." In other words, if you trust in the God of Abraham, if you trust that God's promise to Abraham also applies to you, then you are blessed. For God has now captured your heart through the one descended from Abraham, Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Simply put, Paul is saying that God wants us to hear and to believe his Holy Scripture, which promises that we can be saved if we repent and trust in the seed of Abraham, who is none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, who herself was a descendant of Abraham. Sadly, though, sinful history continues to repeat itself. Remember the sad history I shared with you between Adam and Abraham? How in many cases the faith was not passed on, and on several occasions in history you had a world full of unbelievers? Sadly, things haven't changed much today. You see, we sinners are still often tempted to ignore God's word and focus on our own plans and trust in our own ideas of how things ought to be. sadly, over the years of my ministry, I found that there are some adults who were raised in the church as children, but now they have strayed away from the Lord and no longer care about His Word. And worse yet, these same adults are not even raising their children in the church at all. And what will the result of that be? I mean, how long does it take to get a generation of unbelievers? One generation. If the faith is not passed on, before you know it, you can have a world of unbelievers. But we should not despair. You see, even though we sinners are often guilty of turning our backs on God, God does not so easily turn His back on us. Just as God continually reached out into a world of sinful people and called them to Himself, He continues to reach out to us even today. So even though we are guilty of turning our backs on God, He does not so easily turn His back on us. In fact, Jesus willingly laid His back on the rough wooden beam of the cross to pay for our sins against Him. Jesus, the seed of Abraham, came into the world to suffer and die for us sinners so that through repentance and faith in Him, we could be saved. In fact, that's why I know your being here today is no coincidence. The Holy Spirit moved you to come to this service today. You see, the Holy Spirit wanted you to remember the promise given to Abraham. The promise that was meant for you. That through Abraham's seed, all nations would be blessed. And my friends, you have been blessed. You have been blessed with God's forgiveness and the hope of eternal life in His love, all because of Jesus, the seed of Abraham, who died on the cross for your sins and who clothed you with His own holiness in the waters of holy baptism. In fact, you might remember our second reading was from Galatians chapter 3. Well, if you read your Bibles later and look at the very end of Galatians chapter 3, you will hear and read these words. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You know what Paul is saying there? He's saying that being a physical descendant of Abraham isn't what's important. What's important is trusting in the one true God, just like Abraham did. So if you trust in God and the Savior He has sent, just as Abraham did, then you are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. The God who called Abraham to follow Him in faith, that same God called out to you in the waters of holy baptism and said, "You are mine. Follow me. Trust in me. I will bless you." And you know what? Just as the world was blessed through Abraham, the world can continue to be blessed through us. Because God will continue to use us to point people to Jesus, the seed of Abraham, who is the Lord and Savior of all people. Because God wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So if there's one thing I want you to take with you today, it's this. First, God keeps His promises. Hundreds of years ago, God said to Abraham, "Through you all nations will be blessed." And that was fulfilled when Jesus was born, lived, died, and rose again. And one day He will return in glory to take us to be home with Him forever. Those of us who trusted Him like Abraham did. And that leads to the second point. Not only does God keep His promises, but He wants us to remember that He does not want us to turn away from His promises. He does not want us to be like those generations of people who turned away from God and lost everything. Instead, with His word today, He's telling us, don't be like that. Instead, be like Noah. Be like Abraham. Humble yourself, trust in me, and know that I am your loving God, and I have sent my one and only Son to be your Savior. Follow Him, grow in His word, live in His love, and know that you are blessed through me. Amen. Now, Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the seed of Abraham. Amen. All right, before we have our greeting...